نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله قد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر أمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. And alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His forgiveness and seek His assistance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil in ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide him. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be misguided because of that person following his own nafs, his own desires, his own huwa, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship, other than Allah. He stands alone, no partners, and I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave, servant, and messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and die not except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from him its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a Raqib, a watch over you. O you who believe, say that which is correct, and always speak the truth, so that Allah may accept from your good deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma baidu. Certainly, the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, for every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the first night that we will begin our discussion on the men around the Messenger. And these are the Sahabas of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, this is a very good book because it goes into very good detail about 60 of the Sahabas of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's important that we realize that the history of Islam is the most documented history in the history of mankind. It has been investigated, criticized, and has really been under the microscope, alhamdulillah. And this history has been recorded for us so that we can look back upon our glorious past of the Muslims, and we can see that whatever we need to accomplish, it can be done, simply by looking at the Sahabas of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first person that we're going to talk about today is Mus'ab ibn Umair. And this man was among the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was described as a flower of the Quraysh. He was the most handsome and youthful. Historians and narrators describe him as the most charming of the Meccans. He was born and brought up in wealth, and he grew up with its luxuries. Perhaps there was no boy in Mecca who was pampered by his parents like Mus'ab ibn Umair. This youth caressed and pampered. He was the talk of the ladies of Mecca, the jewel of its clubs and assemblies. Is it possible for him to be one of the legends of the faith? By Allah, how interesting I tell the story of Mus'ab ibn Umair, or Mus'ab the Good, as he was nicknamed among the Muslims. He was one of those made by Islam and fostered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But who was he? His story is of pride for all of mankind. The youth heard one day what the people of Mecca had begun to hear about Muhammad the Truthful, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Allah had sent him as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner to call them to the worship of Allah, the One God. When Mecca slept and awoke, there was no other talk but the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his religion. And this spoiled boy was one of the most attentive listeners. That was because, although he was young, the flower of clubs and assemblies, the outward appearance of wisdom and common sense were among the traits of Mus'ab. He heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who believed in him were meeting far away from the dignitaries and great men of Quraysh at As-Saffa, in the house of Arqam ibn Arqam. And that house was called Dar al-Arqam. He wasted no time. He went one night to Dar al-Arqam, yearning and anxious. There, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was meeting his companions, reciting the Quran to them and praying with them to Allah the Most Exalted. Mus'ab had hardly taken his seat and contemplated the verses of the Quran recited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when his heart became the promised heart that night. The pleasure almost flung him from his seat as he was filled with a wild ecstasy. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam patted his throbbing heart with his best right hand, and the silence of the ocean's depth filled his heart. In the twinkling of an eye, the youth who had just become Muslim appeared to have more wisdom than his age and a determination that would change the course of time. Mus'ab's mother was Kunas bint Malik, and the people feared her almost to the point of terror because she possessed a strong personality. When Mus'ab became Muslim, he was neither careful before nor afraid of anyone on the face of the earth except his mother. Even if Mecca, with all its idols, nobles, and deserts, were to challenge him, he would stand up to it. As for a dispute with his mother, this was an impossible horror, so he thought quickly and decided to keep his Islam secret until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. He continued to frequent Dar al-Arqam and take lessons from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was satisfied with his faith and avoided the anger of his mother, who had no knowledge of his embracing Islam. However, Mecca at that time kept no secret, for the eyes and ears of the Quraysh were everywhere, very alert and checking every footprint in its hot sands. Once Uthman ibn Talha saw him steadily entering al-Arqam's house, then he saw him a second time praying the prayer like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No sooner had he seen him than he ran quickly with the news to Mus'ab's mother, who was astonished by it. Mus'ab stood before his mother, the people and the nobles of Mecca who assembled around him, telling them the irrefutable truth and reciting the Quran with which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cleansed their hearts and filled them with honor, wisdom, justice, and piety. His mother aimed a heavy blow at him, but the hand which was meant as an arrow soon succumbed to the powerful light which increased the radiance of his face with innocent glory because it demanded respect with its quiet confidence. However, his mother, under the pressure of her motherliness, spared him the beating and the pain, although it was within her power to avenge her gods whom he had abandoned. Instead, she took him to a rough corner of her house and shut him in it. She put shackles on him and imprisoned him there until he heard the news of the emigration or the hijra of some of the believers to Abyssinia. He thought to himself and was able to delude his mother and his guards and so escaped to Abyssinia. There he stayed in Abyssinia with his fellow immigrants and then returned with them to Mecca. He also immigrated to Abyssinia for the second time with the companions whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised to emigrate, and they obeyed. But whether Mus'ab was in Abyssinia or Mecca, the experience of his faith proclaimed itself in all places and all times. When Ab became confident that his life had become good enough to be offered as a sacrifice to the supreme originator and great creator, he went out one day to some Muslims while they were sitting around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no sooner did they see him than they lowered their heads and shed some tears because they saw him wearing worn out garments. They were accustomed to his former appearance before he had become Muslim, when his clothes had been like garden flowers, elegant and fragrant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him with the eyes of wisdom, thankful and loving, and his lips smiled gracefully as he said, "I saw Mus'ab here, and there was no youth in Mecca more petted by his parents than he." Then he abandoned all of that for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His mother had withheld from him all luxury he had been overwhelmed by when she could not return him to her religion. She refused to let anyone who had abandoned their gods eat of her food, even if it was her son. Her last connection with him was when she tried to imprison him for a second time after his return from Abyssinia, and he swore that if she did that, he would kill all those who came to her aid to lock him up. She knew the truth of his determination when he was intent and decided to do something, and she bade him goodbye weeping. The parting moment revealed a strange adherence to infidelity on the part of his mother and a sallallahu alaihi wasallam by family relations. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Mus'ab the good, knowing that he was entrusting to him the most important task of that time, putting into his hands the destiny of Islam at Al-Madinah. The radiant city of Al-Madinah was destined to be the home of Hijrah, the springboard of Islamic preachers and the liberators of the future. Mus'ab was equal to the task and trust which Allah had given him, and he was equipped with an excellent mind and noble character. He won the hearts of the people from Medina with his piety, uprightness, and sincerity, and so they embraced the religion of Allah in flocks. At the time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him there, only 12 Muslims had pledged allegiance to the Prophet at the Pledge of Aqaba. He had hardly completed a few months when they answered to the call of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During the next pilgrimage season, the Medinan Muslims sent a delegation of 70 believing men and women to Mecca to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came with their teacher and their Prophet's envoy, Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab had proven by his good sense and excellence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew well how to choose his envoys and teachers. Mus'ab had understood his mission well. He knew that he was a caller to Allah and preacher of his religion, which calls people to right guidance and the straight path. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in whom he believed, he was no more than a deliverer of the message. There he stood fast with As'ad ibn Zurair as host, and both of them used to visit the tribes, dwellings, and assemblies, reciting to the people what he had of the Book of Allah, instilling in them what Allah, that Allah is no more than one God. He had confronted certain instances which should have put an end to his life and that of those with him, but for his active, intelligent, great mind. One day he was taken by surprise while preaching to the people to find As'ad ibn Huzair, leader of Abu al-Ashhal of the Abu al-Ashhab tribe, at Medina, confronting him with a drawn arrow. He was raging with anger and animosity against the one who had come to corrupt the religion of his people by telling them to abandon their gods and talking to them about the idea of only one God, whom they did not know before and had never heard of. Their gods were to them the center of their worship. Whenever any of them needed them, he knew their places. He would invoke them for help. That was how they thought and imagined. As for the God of Muhammad, to whom this envoy was calling, nobody knew his place, nor could anybody see him. When the Muslims who were sitting around Mus'ab saw As'ad ibn Huzair advancing in his unbridled anger, they were frightened. But Mus'ab the good stood firm. As'ad stood before him, and As'ad ibn Zurair shouting, "What brought you here? Are you coming to corrupt our faith? Go away if you wish to be saved." And like the calmness of the sea and its force, Mus'ab started his fine speech, saying, "Won't you sit down and listen? If you like our cause, you can accept it. If you dislike it, we will spare you of what you hate." Allahu Akbar. How grand an opening whose ending would be pleasant. As'ad was a thoughtful and clever man. And here he saw As'ad inviting him to listen and no more. If he was convinced, he would accept it. And if he was not convinced, then As'ad would leave his neighborhood and his clan and move to another neighborhood without harm nor being harmed. There and then As'ad answered him, saying, "Well, that is fair." And he dropped his arrow to the ground and sat down listening. As'ad had hardly read the Quran explaining the mission which Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, when the conscience of As'ad began to clear and brighten and change with the effectiveness of the words. He became overwhelmed by his beauty. When As'ad finished speaking, As'ad ibn Huzair exclaimed to him and those with him, "How beautiful is this speech, and how true. How can one enter this religion?" As'ad told him to purify his body and clothes and say, "I bear witness that there is no God but Allah." As'ad retired for some time and then returned, pouring clean water on his head, standing there proclaiming, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." The news spread like lightning. And then As'ad ibn Mu'az came and listened to Mus'ab, and he was convinced and embraced Islam. And then came As'ad ibn Ubaidah. There and then blessings came with their entering Islam. The people of Medina came together asking one another, "If As'ad ibn Huzair, As'ad ibn Mu'az, and As'ad ibn Ubaidah have embraced Islam, what are we waiting for? Go straight to Mus'ab and believe. By Allah, he is calling us to the truth and the straight path." The first envoy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam succeeded without comparison. It was a success which he deserved and to which he was equal. The days and years passed by. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions emigrated to Medina, and the Quraysh were raging with envy and their ungodly pursuit after the pious worshippers. So the Battle of Badr took place, in which they were taught a lesson and lost their stronghold. After that, they prepared themselves for revenge, and thus came the Battle of Uhud. The Muslims mobilized themselves, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood in their midst to sort out among their faithful faces and to choose one to bear the standard. He then called Mus'ab the Good, and he advanced and carried the standard. The terrible battle was raging, and the fighting furious. The archers disregarded the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by leaving their positions on the mountain when they saw the polytheists withdrawing as if defeated. But this act of theirs soon turned the victory of the Muslims to defeat. The Muslims were taken at unawares by the cavalry of the Quraysh at the mountaintop, and many Muslims were killed by the swords of the polytheists as a consequence. When they saw the confusion and the horror splitting the ranks of the Muslims, the polytheists concentrated on the Prophet of Allah to finish him off. Mus'ab saw the impending threat, so he raised the standard high, shouting, "Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!" like the roar of a lion. He turned and jumped left and right, fighting and killing the foe. All he wanted was to draw the attention of the enemy to himself in order to turn their attention away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He thus became as a whole army in himself. Nay, Mus'ab went alone to fight as if he were an army of giants, raising the standard in sanctity with one hand, striking with his sword with the other. But the enemies were multiplying on him. They wanted to step on his corpse so that they could find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us allow a living witness to describe for us the last scene of Mus'ab the Great. Ibn Sa'd said, Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Sharhabil al-Abdri related from his father who said, Mus'ab ibn Umar carried the standard on the day of Uhud. When the Muslims were scattered, he stood fast until he met Ibn Kumayyah, who was a knight. He struck him on his right hand and cut it off. But Mus'ab said, and Muhammad is but a messenger. Messengers have passed away before him. He carried the standard with his left hand and leaned on it. He struck his left hand and cut it off. So he leaned on the standard and held it with his upper arms to his chest, all the while saying, and Muhammad is but a messenger. Messengers have passed away before him. And this is Surah 3, Ayat 144. Then a third one struck him with his spear, and his spear went through him. Mus'ab fell, and then the standard. He fell after he had struggled for the sake of Allah in the great battle of sacrifice and faith. He had thought that if he fell, he would be a stepping stone to the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he would be without defense and protection. But he put himself in harm's way for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Overpowered by his fear for and love of him, he continued to say with every sword stroke that fell on him from the foe, and Muhammad is but a messenger. Messengers have passed away before him. This verse was later revealed after he had spoken it. After the bitter battle, they found the corpse of the upright martyr lying with his face in the dust, as if he feared to look while harm fell on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he hid his face so that he would avoid the scene. But perhaps he was shy when he fell as a martyr, before making sure of the safety of the Prophet of Allah, and before serving to the very end, guarding and protecting him. Allah is with you, O Mus'ab. What a great life story. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions came to inspect the scene of the battle and bid farewell to the martyrs. Pausing at Mus'ab's body, many tears dripped from the Prophet's eyes. Sabab ibn Arat narrated, we emigrated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Allah's cause, so our reward became due with Allah. Some of us passed away without enjoying anything in this life of his reward, and one of them was Mus'ab ibn Umar, who was martyred on the day of Uhud. He did not leave behind anything except a sheet of shredded woolen cloth. If we covered his head with it, his feet were uncovered. And if we covered his feet with it, his head was uncovered. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, cover his head with it and put lemongrass over his feet. Despite the deep, sad pain which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffered over the loss of his uncle Hamza and the mutilation of his corpse by the polytheists, in a matter that drew tears from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and broke his heart, despite the fact that the field of battle was littered with the corpses of his companions, all of whom represented the peak of truth, piety, and enlightenment, despite all of this, he stood at the corpse of his first envoy, bidding him farewell and weeping bitterly. Nay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood at the remains of Mus'ab ibn Umar, saying, while his eyes were flowing with tears, love and loyalty, among the believers are men who have been true to their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Surah 33, Ayah 23. Then he gave a sad look at the garment in which he was shrouded and said, I saw you at Mecca, and there was not a more precious jewel nor more distinguished one than you. And here you are, bareheaded in a garment. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at all the martyrs in the battlefield and said, the Prophet of Allah witnesses that you are martyrs to Allah on the day of resurrection. Then he returned and he gathered his living companions around him and said, O people, visit them, come to them, and salute them. By Allah, no Muslim will salute them, but that they will salute him in return. So peace be upon you, O Mus'ab. Peace be upon you, O martyrs. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. SubhanAllah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Amen.